Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
Once I get it in my imagination, once it becomes hope, I can guarantee you faith is going to bring physical manifestation to that hope.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm just about at the end of my teaching on the power of imagination. I've been teaching on this for 4 weeks, and I have a brand new book entitled The Power of Imagination. The subtitle is Unlocking Your Ability to Receive from God, and I have CDs and DVDs on it. And I tell you, this has been powerful. If you've missed any of this, I encourage you to please get the materials or at least go to our website, awmi.net, and go back and look at the archived teachings on this, because I tell you, this is powerful and it's something that very few people understand. When you talk about imagination, most people think of something that isn't real, fantasy, and that's not what I'm talking about. You cannot function without an imagination. Your imagination is a driving force in your life, or as the Hebrew word that was translated, imagination, the literal definition of it, it means conception. Your imagination is where you conceive things. And in the New Testament, hope is how the Bible refers to a positive imagination. And you could take all of the scriptures on hope. Hope is an anchor of the soul, Hebrews chapter 6. And it enters into the holy place and it keeps us united to God. Man, I haven't even focused on that. I'm just skimming through this. There's so much more to say. I've also talked about how that your imagination is not always referred to by those words, but in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah saw himself dead at the hand of Jezebel, and because of it, he ran and depression came. Depression is a result of your imagination. It's because you haven't kept your mind stayed upon God. Isaiah 26:3, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. And the Hebrew word there, Y-E-T-S-E-R, is the same word that is translated imagination a number of different times, and that word means conception. It's your spiritual womb. If you are depressed, it's because you have not kept your mind, your imagination, focused upon God. You're seeing negative things instead of positive things. And what I started dealing with yesterday, and this is really important, that you need to start having a realistic imagination. Now, in a sense, that seems contradictory because, you know, I've been talking so much about you can't just look at what's right in front of you and be controlled and dominated and limited only to what you can see with your physical eyes. But there also, you can get into where you have false imaginations about who you are and what you can do. For instance, let's just say that a guy who's 5 foot tall has an image of him being the next great basketball player. Did you know what? If you're going up against 7 foot guys and you're 5 foot, I just don't think that's going to happen. That is not a realistic imagination, and you can imagine all you want to, and it's not going to change that situation. You need to think in line with what God's will is for your life. If you're only 5 foot tall, did you know God has a purpose and God will use you, but you need to get a revelation. It's probably not going to be a basketball player. If you're 70 pounds dripping wet, you probably aren't going to be able to play football with people that are 300 pounds and stuff. It needs to be a realistic imagination. You know, like I could sit there and use my imagination to say that I'm going to be the greatest singer that ever was. But that's not what I desire. That is not what God has for me. I can carry a tune, but that's not my anointing. That is not what God called me to do. But I have used my imagination. God called me to do things that in the natural would have been impossible. Did you know speaking in front of people? I used to be so introverted I couldn't even say hi to a person that I didn't know, that I hadn't already established relationships with. I was painfully shy. I was introverted. And now God has me doing things completely contrary to what my natural self is. And I had to see myself doing that. God has me reaching around the world, and I've already shared a lot of these things. I had to change the image that's on the inside. But it needs to be an image that you have let God implant things in you, and you do what you are called to do. You know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. But if you get to where you start thinking that I can do all things, and you leave off the through Christ, that is a false, that is a damaging image on the inside of you. And somebody might think, oh, I can do all things. Well, through Christ. But the moment you get to where you are independent of Christ, the moment you start using this teaching on the power of imagination, and you start thinking that I am awesome and I can do all of these things, and you just use God as a way for you to accomplish your own will, that is dangerous. You need to get away from that. I've used these verses, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, hope deferred, and hope is a positive imagination. If you have an imagination about something, and if it's deferred, if it doesn't come to pass, it goes on to say it makes the heart sick. If you have wrong goals, if you have wrong imaginations, and they don't come to pass because it wasn't God's will, and therefore you don't have God's backing on trying to do it, well, it is going to wind up making your heart sick. You know, I'm in the process of building a Bible college campus because God has led me to do this. And we now have, I think, I just got a statement yesterday that we have something like $112.9 million worth of assets in just the last 7 years. God has blessed us. And it's awesome, but I've got a vision of much, much more. I've got a vision of building student housing, building a student activity center, building a sports complex, and making this just like a university. It's going to be second to none. I've got all of these things, but if I just come up with those things on my own, if it isn't God-inspired, well, then it's not going to come to pass. And when it doesn't come to pass, it'll make my heart sick. And so I have to constantly balance. God, is this just me dreaming, or am I still dependent upon you? Am I being inspired by you, or is this my pizza that's making me see these things come to pass? You have to, and the only way that I know to constantly be checking that and making sure it's accurate is you need to maintain a relationship with God where you are focused upon God and not just what He can do for you, but you need to love Him more than you love anything that He's doing. If you're building a business, you may have a goal. God may have put you in that business and stuff, but are the goals that you're establishing, are they God-inspired goals? Or are you just envying somebody else and wanting to be like them, and you're just seeing how far and how high you can go? Or is it God-inspired? You know, in your marriage, you need to have realistic goals. I tell you, this is where so much relationship problems in marriage come from, because I remember this couple that I had do a marriage seminar with me one time, and the woman was the homecoming queen. She was just a beautiful Southern belle, and the man was the captain of the football team and the most popular, and they were just like Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, these Barbie dolls. They were just perfect-looking people and perfect everything. And anyway, when they came together and when they got married, the woman had an idea that marriage was going to be just like, you know, Sleeping Beauty, that your Prince Charming comes and wakes you up and you ride off into the sunset and everything is perfect. Well, that's good to a degree, but did you know that life isn't going to be perfect? Marriage isn't going to be perfect. This man that I'm thinking about, he was one of the kindest, he was as close to being perfect, I guess, as you can get. And yet, his wife just expected him to take away every bit of her pain, that she'd never have another problem. She was putting expectations on her husband that even though this guy was a 10, he was a keeper. He wasn't perfect. And because she still had problems and she still had things going on, then she began to resent him because hope deferred makes the heart sick. She had unrealistic expectations. She was looking to her husband to do what only God was intended to do. There's people watching this program right now that you are disappointed, and it's because you are looking to your mate to fulfill some things in your life that only God was intended to fulfill. And when they don't measure up, then even though they may be a very good person, and even though it may be God that put you together, you're going to have your heart made sick because you've got unrealistic expectations. You're demanding unrealistic things of your mate. And when that happens, your heart becomes sick, and then you get bitter towards your mate. This couple that I'm thinking about, the woman actually got so bad that she was going to kill herself. And it's a long story. It'd take the rest of my program to give it. But she had unrealistic hopes. And finally, she realized that only God could meet her needs. And so she got set free, and God put them together, and they pastored churches. I went to their church many, many years, and they were just a powerful couple. But they had to start having realistic expectations. And what I want to share today is that you need to realize that it's God working through you that is the source of your victory. It is not you. It's your position in Christ that makes you able to do all things. But if you ever leave off the last part of that verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you just get to thinking that, man, I can do all things, I'm awesome, you are putting up false expectations, a false imagination, and I can guarantee you that sooner or later, you're going to do something stupid. You are going to embarrass yourself and God. You're going to fail in some area. And I know that there's some people right now, no, that'll never happen to me. Well, you just keep breathing. You come back to me in a year or two or 5 years or something, and I guarantee you, you're going to mess up. And if you are thinking that you are awesome and that the reason God is using you and that things are going so good is because you are just this awesome person, well, then you've got a false expectation. You aren't seeing yourself properly. Now, in Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I am absolutely, I have a superiority attitude about who I am in Christ. But my spirit is the only part of me that is in Christ right now. I still have a physical body. I still have a mind that does not understand everything. I am not the complete, I am not that glorified person that I'm going to be. Right now, 1/3 of my salvation is complete. That's my spirit. But my soul and my body are still subject to corruption. Now, I don't have to submit to that, but to a degree, corruption is still in this physical body and in my soulish realm. It's only my spirit that's been perfected. It's only my spirit. It's only as I walk in the Spirit that I'm going to experience victory. And if you don't understand that, and you get to thinking that, man, God, look what you've done. This business has grown. This marriage is doing good. I laid hands on the sick and I saw somebody recover. And if you get to thinking somehow or another, it was your power, it was your virtue, you are setting yourself up for a failure. You need to have a positive image of who you are in Christ, but you also need to have an image of who you are without Christ. As Jesus said in John chapter 15, I believe it's verse 5, "For without me, you can do nothing." Now, you can get into a ditch on either side of the road. You know, if you're going down a road and you want to get to your destination, you might start into a ditch. And if you aren't careful, you could overcorrect trying to get out of that ditch, and you could hit the ditch on the other side of the road. There's a ditch on both sides of the road. You need to go right down the middle. And there is a balance between all of these things that I'm saying. You need to resist getting into this ditch over here that I am nothing and I can do nothing. No, you can do all things through Christ, but you can go so far in that direction that you forget that without Christ, you can do nothing. That even though in the spirit realm you are born again and you now have this supernatural ability and power, it's in the spirit. It's not in your flesh. It's not in your body. You need to be dependent upon God. And if you don't keep these things in balance, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. You can either get over here, I'm nothing, I can do nothing, or you can get over here to where, man, God, I am awesome. I can do all things. And you forget that it's through Christ, and you'll get into trouble doing that. Look at these verses in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1 it says, "And you hath he quickened." The word quickened here means to make alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." You were dead in trespasses and sins. The word dead here doesn't mean that you cease to exist. Death in the Bible is talking about separation. When a person dies physically, you don't cease to exist, but your spirit and your soul separate from your body, and this body decays and stuff. But you don't cease to exist. You're just separated from your body. And we were dead in trespasses and sins. That didn't mean that our spirit wasn't functional. It was functioning separate from God, independent of God. We were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is saying that before you got born again, you were under the influence of the devil. And you know what? This is totally offensive to a lot of people. Oh, no, I was a really, really, really good person. I wasn't like the rapist and the murderer and the thief. I didn't do all of those things. I'm a good person. You know what? Who wants to be the best person that ever went to hell? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You were a sinner, and you were by nature the children of wrath. That's what it goes on to say in the next verse. It says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Before you got born again, you had the nature of the devil in you. And again, this is super offensive to people. "No, that wasn't me. I wasn't a bad person." Yes, you were. You might have been good relative to somebody else. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, that they comparing themselves among themselves and measuring themselves by themselves are not wise. It's wrong for you to measure yourself to somebody else who's also a sinner and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that all of us were by nature the children of wrath. We may not have manifested that nature as bad as the person who murders and robs and plunders and steals and rapes and does all of these kind of things, but you were by nature a child of wrath. And now that you are born again, you got a new nature on the inside of you. When you get born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you become a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. But that's in your spirit realm. It's not talking about your body. You know, I have people come forward in my meetings all the time, and I lead them in prayer, and they get born again. But did you know that their body doesn't instantly change? If they were a man, they're still a man. If they were a woman, they're still a woman. You know, used to, I didn't have to explain that. But today, now, you got to tell people it doesn't matter how you think about yourself. It's your plumbing that determines what God made you. And you are a man or a woman based on what God created you to be, not how you think in your mind. But when a person comes forward and gets born again, they are still a man, they're still a woman. They still have their thoughts. They don't have my thoughts. They don't have my memory of growing up in Arlington, Texas. They will have their memory. And you can change your mind and you can renew it to who you are in Christ. But it's not your body that changes. If you were fat before you got saved, you'll still be fat after you get saved. Old things didn't pass away and all things become new in your physical body. All things didn't pass away and become new in your mind. You still have your thoughts. You still have to renew your mind. But in your spirit, you became a brand new person. And I believe that and I teach that. Man, that is what changed my life. But I still have a physical body that isn't changed. Someday it's going to be changed, but it's not changed now. I still have a mind that is susceptible to depression, to discouragement, to thoughts, to evil, to pride, to jealousy, to all kinds of things. And I need to recognize that it's in my spirit I'm new. It's in my spirit that I have the life of Christ. It's in my spirit that I have this anointing. And I need to learn how to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And I need to recognize that if I am in the flesh, I can't please God. Romans chapter 8 says that. There's many places that say that. I have to worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I can't come before God and relate to Him based on my performance, based on my body, based on my thoughts and stuff. I have to come before the Lord based on who He made me in the spirit. And so, yes, I really do emphasize who I am in Christ, but I'm also aware that I was by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I tell you, if you don't understand this, I've used this verse in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, where it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope is a positive imagination. If you have an imagination and you see yourself this awesome person, not in Christ, but in your flesh, and you think that somehow or another in your flesh, in your mind, you are just superior to everybody else, you are going to see mistakes. You will fail. And all of your trust and confidence will come crashing to the ground. You know, I've got a friend of mine who just made some serious mistakes, cost himself and cost the ministry big time and stuff. And he now, I told him, I said, you know, actually this could work out to be one of the best things that ever happened to you, because you are so talented and you're so gifted that you have done things in yourself and not through God. And the reason he got into trouble was because he got into himself and thinking that I'm just special. I don't have to abide by the same instructions that God gave everybody else. And he got caught, and it cost him. And I said, this could actually be a good thing if you quit trusting in yourself. And because of this, you realize that, man, without Christ, I can do nothing. I need to stay in the Spirit. I don't care if my flesh is better than your flesh. It's still flesh. It could be USDA choice flesh, and it's still flesh, and you need to have no confidence in yourself. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I'm going to get into that more tomorrow. I don't have time to get into it, but you need to recognize that you were by nature a child of wrath. You were under demonic influence before you got born again. I don't care if you were one of the nice people. You were still being controlled by the devil. And look at this. It goes on. I'm going to skip down, but in verse 12 it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Did you know before you got born again, you had no hope? And somebody might say, oh yeah, I had a good life. Well, you may have had good hope relative to other people. You may not have been living in the gutter and stuff, but you didn't have a godly hope. You didn't see who you were in Christ. You didn't have the hope of a resurrection and living forever with God and stuff. Relative to what God intended you to be, you were without God, having no hope, and without God in the world. We need to have a healthy respect for who we were and who we still are not without Christ. And then you need to balance that with who you are in Christ. Again, I'm out of time today, but tomorrow will be my last day to offer you this book and these materials. And so please listen to our announcer, and I encourage you to please get this. Remember, tomorrow is our last day to offer this over television. Listen to our announcer as he gives you this information, and please call or write today.
Learn how to put your imagination to work for you when you get Andrew's brand new book titled, The Power of Imagination. This book is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This new series on the power of imagination is also available as a CD or DVD album recorded live from a Gospel Truth seminar, or in a DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. These valuable resources are also available in the Power of Imagination package. This package includes Andrew's brand new book, as well as your choice of the CD or the As Seen on TV DVD album. The Power of Imagination package has a catalog value of $50, but you can get it today for a gift of only $35. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The individual topic highlighted on today's broadcast is available as an audio CD for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give because there's a blessing in giving. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide today's teaching free of charge.
For those of you who would like to be partners with us, we've got a lot of things going on, and the thing that right now that the Lord has really laid on my heart is to get our parking garage paid off as quickly as possible. We actually have a $23 million loan on that 1,022 space parking garage. It's 5 stories tall, and I tell you, it is such a blessing. We are using it. It's a godsend, but we need to get it paid off. And the Lord laid on my heart to just ask for 23,000 people to give $1,000. And I know that that's a lot of money for some people. For other people, it's not a problem. But you know, if you gave $100 a month for 10 months, it would only take 10 months for us to come up with that. And if we get this paid off within just the next few months, I'll save nearly $7 million in interest. And if the Lord has led you to join with us, we have what we call a 1K club, and you can contact us. We have the number on your screen. Let somebody know about it because we need to designate this money towards that. But we believe that we're getting our parking garage paid off quickly, and thank you for being a part of this.
Remember, you can order materials, become a Grace Partner, or join the 1K Club by going to awmi.net. Or you can call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time at 719-635-1111. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, for the last 4 years, I've been trying to go to India and they won't let me in, but we have found a way to come and minister to you. I'm going to be in Hyderabad, India on November the 15th by livecast. This will be a video and it'll be live. You'll be able to talk to me. I'll be able to talk to you. It's going to be held at the RNR Auditorium on the 15th of November. And I believe it's going to be a powerful time. So I want to encourage you to plan to be with me November the 15th, R&R Auditorium in Hyderabad.
Do you want to connect with like-minded believers? Do you want to go deeper in God's Word through the teachings of Andrew Womack? Then Charis Bible Studies is the place for you. Charis Bible Studies are connecting believers with the Word of God in your neighborhood. Find a Bible study near you by visiting charisbiblestudies.net.
We've got a brand new feature on Gospel Truth TV, and that is the on-demand feature. And that's where if you aren't watching at the time your favorite program comes on, you can go back and get whatever you want to see on demand. It's a great new feature. Check it out at gospeltruth.tv.